The reading is from Genesis 25, verses 25 to 34. The first to come out was red, and his whole body was like a hairy garment, so they named him Ezu. After this, his brother came out, with his hand grasping Ezu's heel, so he was named Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when Rebekah gave birth to them. The boys grew up, and Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the open country, while Jacob was a quiet man, staying among the tents. Isaac, who had a taste for wild game, loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Once, when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau came in from the open country, famished. He said to Jacob, "Quick, let me have some of the red stew. I'm famished." This is why he was also called Edom. Jacob replied, "First, sell me your birthright." "Look, I'm about to die," Esau said. "What good is the birthright to me?" But Jacob said, "Swear to me first." So he swore an oath to him, selling his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew. He ate and drank and then got up and left. So Esau despised his birthright.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this series where we're looking at imperfect people. And we thank you that you love us with all our imperfections. Thank you for your grace to us, even though we're sinners. Thank you for the Lord Jesus, who paid for our sin and purchased your blessing for us. Lord, draw us closer to him, then we pray, as we study your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I wonder what your view of Bible heroes is. If you went to Sunday school as a child, you possibly learned a very one-sided view of them. This is because many parts of the Bible are X-rated, and we tend not, quite rightly, to expose our children to sex and violence. It was therefore something of a shock to me when I read the Old Testament as an adult. Today, we're dealing with the character of Jacob, and he is a hero of faith. He knows God. His name is changed to Israel. Israel, his descendants, are the chosen people of God, the Lord Jesus. Comes from his family. And yet, he's a deceiver. And he can't help showing favoritism to his children, for which he pays a very heavy price. And what this tells me is, God can use imperfect people. I'm very aware of how imperfect I am. My wife and children could certainly tell you how imperfect I am. You will be aware of how imperfect you are. God can use imperfect people who come from very imperfect families. Jacob's family is a mess. Perhaps your family is a mess, and yet God will use this family ultimately to give us the Lord Jesus. Let's begin then in chapter 25. Abraham is dead. Abraham is the father of the Jewish nation. Abraham, his son Isaac, his grandson Jacob are what we call the patriarchs. They're the founders of the Jewish nation. And we get a repeated pattern. Chapter 25, verse 21. Isaac's wife was unable to have children, just as Abraham's wife Sarah had been. God is showing that his purpose is not thwarted. by the problems of this life. And he's teaching his children to trust him. However, through prayer, Isaac's wife, Rebecca, becomes pregnant. And she's expecting twins. Verse 23, the Lord says to her, two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger. These two twins will hate each other. And the younger twin, Jacob, will be the one God blesses. Normally, of course, the older son would be preeminent. In God's purposes, often, human reason is reversed. In God's purposes. Romans 9 uses Jacob as an example of the kind of people God chooses. God doesn't choose the obvious ones. He chose the younger son. He chooses the weaker people. He chooses weak, fallen people like us. The first child to be born is red-haired. Do you remember? Esau was an hairy man. Jacob was a smooth man. Jacob is given his name because it means he grasps the heel. Literally, he came out grasping his brother's heel. They were at war even in the womb. There's another meaning to his name. It can also mean deceiver. And Jacob would live up to this. Esau is the man's man. He's a hunter. Jacob was a mummy's boy. He liked helping his mother around the house, around the tent. And this is what gives Jacob the edge over his brother. One day, Jacob's at home cooking some stew. His brother's out hunting, and he comes home famished. "Quick," he says, "let me have some of that stew. First, sell me your birthright." Esau's birthright meant his right to be his father's heir. Esau sells his birthright for a bowl of soup. He despised his birthright. He didn't deserve his birthright. This is like Prince Charles giving up his right to the throne for a Big Mac and fries. It's ridiculous. But it had to happen because Jacob is the one through whom the Jewish nation would develop. Jacob is the one from whom the Lord Jesus would ultimately come. We now jump on to chapter 27. Isaac is now old and nearly blind, and he realizes that he's soon to die. So he wants to give his blessing to Esau, his son and heir. He sends Esau out into the country to hunt some wild game and then to prepare a meal as a celebration of Isaac giving Esau his fatherly blessing. However, Rebecca is listening, and Jacob is her favorite son. So she wants Jacob to have the blessing. She herself makes a meal. They dress Jacob up in goat skins, so that he'll feel like his hairy brother. They also put him in Esau's clothes, so that he'll smell like Esau. They didn't wash clothes much in those days. Jacob pretends to be Esau. He deceives his father. He lives up to his name. His father takes a bit of convincing. He's fairly certain that he's hearing Jacob's voice, but eventually, chapter 27, verse 27, Isaac gives Jacob his fatherly blessing. This is a continuation of the blessing God first gave to Abraham. Those who curse you, be cursed. And those who bless you, be blessed. Blessing comes to the world through blessing Israel. In other words, we come into the place of God's blessing when we bless the Lord Jesus, when we love him, trust him, please him. Well, the deed is done. The blessing has been given to Jacob. Now, of course, Esau comes home. Both Isaac and Esau are devastated. Bless me too, my father. Your brother came deceitfully and took your blessing. I have made him Lord over you. Esau weeps aloud. And then Jacob gives him a form of blessing, but it's actually a curse. Your dwelling will be away from the earth's richness, away from the dew of heaven above. You will live by the sword, and you will serve your brother. But when you grow restless, you will throw his yoke from off your neck. From now on, the brothers are at war. So, verse 41, Jacob flees to his uncle Laban. This will have the added advantage of providing Jacob with a wife from his own people. Jacob confirms the blessing as he sends, Isaac confirms the blessing as he sends Jacob away. Perhaps the most famous story in Jacob's life comes next. The story of Jacob's ladder. Jacob is en route to his uncle's home in Haran. He settles down for the night with his head on a stone. And he dreams. He sees a stairway resting on earth, reaching into heaven, and angels of God going up and down. There above it stood the Lord. And God speaks to him. Chapter 28, verse 13. I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All people on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. So this is the promise God first made to Abraham. Abraham's descendants will live in the land of Israel. They will be blessed, and all people will be blessed through them. In other words, all people will be blessed through Jesus, who would come from this family. And now, Jacob is the one through whom the blessing is continued. I love 28:16. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. Jacob is becoming a genuine believer in God. He's moving from knowing about God to knowing God. God is revealing himself to Jacob. This is true for every Christian. God has revealed himself to us. And wherever we are, the Lord is in this place. The Holy Spirit is in us and with us, Jesus taught. We should go through life with a profound awareness of God's presence. If you remember God's presence, you don't fall into sin. If I remember God is with me, if I remember God is watching me, if I remember God is listening to me, I won't fall into sin. Our problem is, we forget God is with us. We feel anxious. We feel lonely. And we feel free to sin, to disobey God, to displease God. God is in this place. God is with us. Remember this. Jacob now has a sort of conversion experience. It's a bit like when we become Christians. He worships God. And he commits himself to serving God in God's strength. We all need to do this. And I'll have more to say about this at the end. Well, chapter 29. Jacob arrives at his uncle's territory. And now, cue the violins. This is where this becomes a love story. Rachel, his cousin, Laban's daughter, comes into view, leading her sheep. Certainly on Jacob's part, it's love at first sight. Jacob is welcomed into his uncle's household. Jacob famously offers to work 7 years for Rachel's hand in marriage. He's in love with her. However, Jacob the deceiver is himself deceived. Laban has another daughter, Leah, not as attractive as Rachel. And Laban deceives Jacob into marrying Leah. And astonishingly, Jacob doesn't work this out until the next morning. And so, Jacob ends up with two wives, two sisters, who will bicker for the rest of their lives. Because Jacob will always favor Rachel. And of course, he has to work another 7 years for the second wife. So here we have a very strange family. Jacob, himself, from an unhappy home, deceiving his way through life, now himself deceived, stuck with two wives, one he doesn't want. And just to make things worse, Leah has lots of babies. And Rachel can't have children. So Leah is jealous of Rachel for being the favorite. Rachel is jealous of Leah for her babies. And then, stupidly, Rachel offers her servant Bilhah to bear a child on her behalf. Of course, Leah won't be outdone, so she provides her servant Zilpah. So now, effectively, Jacob has four wives. Eventually, Rachel conceives and has two children. Joseph, remember him? Technicolor dream coat? And his brother Benjamin. This was not a happy family. But other things went well for Jacob. He becomes wealthy, but his relationship with Laban breaks down. Jacob again uses deception to increase his flocks. He has to flee from Laban eventually, only to find he comes face to face with Esau, his brother. Esau, who might have been expected to kill him. Jacob uses all his cleverness to negotiate this difficult situation. I want to focus on one famous aspect. In 32, 22 and following, Jacob has an experience of a man wrestling with him all night. This man was actually God in human form. And Jacob thinks he can wrestle with this man until the man puts Jacob's hip out of joint. Jacob is permanently disabled. It's at this point that Jacob's name is changed to Israel. God makes Jacob his special person. But he weakens Jacob to make him ever more dependent on God. And this is how it is with us. God allows us to suffer. He allows difficulties, even causes difficulties, to make us trust in him alone. There's another story of Jacob's deceit when he defeats the Shechemites who had raped his daughter. Terrible story. There's a renewal of God's covenant with Jacob and his family in chapter 35. They are God's chosen people, the people from whom Jesus would come. And then, of course, we come into the final stage of Jacob's life, the story of his old age, the story of Joseph. This is the great tragedy of Jacob's life, because he believes for many years that Joseph has been killed by a wild animal. Joseph and Benjamin were his favorite sons because they were the children of his favorite wife, Rachel, now dead. But this is not the end of the story. Jacob does see Joseph again. He moves to Egypt. He's able to give Joseph his blessing. The blessing of God is passed to the next generation. God's people will go forward. Jacob dies, and he's buried in the family tomb in Israel. Let me draw things to a close. Jacob was a very imperfect person from a very imperfect family. Therefore, he gives us all hope, because we're all very imperfect people from very imperfect families. Jacob was a hero of faith. He led his family in God's ways. He genuinely knew God. He was a patriarch, one of the founders of Israel, therefore one of the founders of the Christian faith. He was a deceiver. He had the ability to manipulate situations. He showed favoritism to Rachel and to Joseph and Benjamin. He himself was his mother's favorite, and he paid a very heavy price for showing favoritism to Joseph. His brothers were jealous, and they sold Joseph as a slave to Egypt. Jacob had to live for decades believing Joseph was dead. He wrestled with God. He thought he could take God on and win. He had to be disabled by God. He had to be humbled by God. But ultimately, God was able to use him. So are you an imperfect person? Have you ever fought against God? We've all done this. But just like Jacob, God can bring us to a place where we're not fighting against him. We're trusting him. We're obeying him. He does this through Jesus. God had Jesus, his only son, to die in our place, taking the punishment for all our imperfection. Isn't that wonderful? Just think of your imperfection there, all nailed to the cross of Jesus, taken by Jesus. And of course, this means we can be forgiven. We can be right with God. We can know his blessing. Have you found this relationship with God? I wonder, what are you relying on to get you through life? Jacob had his ability to deceive. And at other times, he could be very cunning. The Bible says we should be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. It's not necessarily sinful to be crafty, to be able to control situations. If you were a persecuted Christian, wouldn't you use cunning to outwit your opponents? But ultimately, the only way to get through life successfully is with the blessing of God. Jacob found this. And this blessing is on offer to us tonight. If we will make Jesus king, if we will live to please him, if we will trust him as our rescuer, we will know his blessing. We'll still have problems. No doubt about that. We will still have problems. But we'll face them with the blessing of God, under God's care, at the center of God's purposes. Don't be tempted to think you don't need this, that you don't need God, that you can make it on your own. We all need him. His forgiveness, his love, his help, and ultimately, a place in heaven. We're going to think through these issues in a little more depth now. And there'll be some questions on the screen. And you can discuss them in your groups And then Andy will come back and draw things to a close. Thank you.